Spike Eskin. That's me. I'm here with you too, Big Daddy Graham at 2. Xfinity voice line is 888-729-9494, #9494 on AT&T. So I'll get to Ryan and Steve, who wanted to talk Sixers, I promise. Actually, the official WWE correspondent of the Spike Eskin Show is also a big Sixers fan. What did you think of the press conference today?
It's funny you ask. You know, I was half expecting Andrew Bynum up there to, at some point, take his Sixers T-shirt off and reveal a New Jersey Nets T-shirt, like Mike Tyson with the DX Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmick.
It was very, you rarely in regular pro sports see a display like they did, like they showed today. It was very, very showy and very pro wrestling-esque.
It was surreal as a Sixers fan to actually be seeing this 24-year-old, you know, second-best center in the league be introduced as a Philadelphia 76er. Like, as a, you know, I'm 34, I haven't seen something like this in my time.
Yeah, and sitting there, I felt this. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. That's all I kept thinking, watching it, going, I can't believe this is real. So Sunday night is SummerSlam, 25th anniversary of SummerSlam. Going into it, before we get into the specific matches, the CM Punk heel turn, as it were, which I think we both thought was a good move for him. How do you feel like that's going so far?
He refuses to call it a heel turn. It's so funny. If you follow him on Twitter, somebody said, you know, I'm enjoying your heel turn. And he's like, don't use terms if you don't know what they mean. He's sort of telling the line of, like, I'm just a guy trying to gain the respect that I deserve as a, I think he's a 9-month world title holder. But for all intents and purposes, yeah, he's becoming a heel, and we saw on Raw 1000 standing triumphant over The Rock and John Cena, and that has sort of, led him down the path of, like, being this, like, I can't use the term they use, but chicken, heel.
Yeah.
Of, you know, demanding respect. I mean, it's a tried and true sort of formula. I kind of feel like Punk's cooler than that. Like, going off the air 2 weeks ago with Punk complaining to AJ, I deserve more respect. You can't do this to me, putting me in a triple threat with Big Show and John Cena. It's just so uncool of CM Punk to be using such a tactic. But I'm very excited to see where it goes.
It's funny. I had written down to ask you. It feels to me like his inability to fully commit to what it is almost holding it back. I almost feel like the crowd doesn't know how they're supposed to react to him. And
yep.
You know, the reaction is best when the crowd knows what they're supposed to do, and they don't know what they're supposed to do with him.
I've watched wrestling for 26 years. I don't know what to do with him because, you know, he's so good in the ring and he's so good on the mic. And this new sort of role, this new sort of place he's going is something we've seen before in 10,000 other heel turns of, like, I demand respect. I'm the champion. You know, you guys, I need to be the center of attention, star of the show. So it's just like I'm very excited to see what they do in putting him in the spotlight at SummerSlam 25th anniversary, seeing what other cool thing CM Punk can do to turn WWE on its head, because right now they kind of have him treading water as sort of you know, cookie cutter heel.
We're doing our SummerSlam preview. SummerSlam is Sunday night. To go from Punk to Punk's match, it's the three way with Cena, Punk, and Big Show.
Your favorite, the Big Show.
The Big Show, who is just like, come on, the screaming and the his finishing move is so apropos because he's so dull, and his finishing move is punching somebody in the head. It's like, it's almost, who do you think, I mean, who wins this and why?
I mean, I will give some credit to him just because I have seen his hand up close, and I have shaken his hand and watched his full hand wrap around mine like 3 times.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea that his finishing move is this, like, ridiculous right-handed punch, like, yeah, it would destroy your face. So, like, I get it, but, yeah, I'm completely over Big Show. I'm completely over Kane. There's nothing they can do that will ever excite me ever again. But I think Punk has to go over here because moving forward, I think you want punk rock. You want punk versus the Rock at Royal Rumble, and we already know Rock will wrestle whomever is the champion at the time of the Royal Rumble, and they've already invested 9 months into having CM Punk be the champion. I don't see what it does for the company to put the title on John Cena, and again, doesn't do anything for the company to put the title on Big Show, because they're just going to lose it back to Punk in time for Royal Rumble. So just leave it. I think somehow CM Punk finds a way to win. Or maybe because SummerSlam is in L.A., there's rumors, you know, Rock could do a run in and really get this Rock versus Punk story going.
And this is just, I'm just a shot in the dark here, but he's been involved, you know, he's been a secondary storyline in this. But is there any chance that Daniel Bryan gets involved in this match somehow?
It's funny you bring that up because, you know, he has a match with Kane, but every week for the last month on Raw, he's been inserting himself into the CM Punk storyline. And they haven't even been building or, like, advancing the Daniel Bryan Kane storyline. So it's very interesting. You bring it up. I'm sure anybody who's been watching noticed, you know, like, that match is completely forgotten about. You would think Daniel Bryan would be in this match. And as a fan, you want Daniel Bryan in there because you just want to see that pairing of Punk and Daniel Bryan going at it, because anytime they do, it's like, it's an instant classic. But, I don't know what they're going to do. I almost feel like there's going to be one of those lame things backstage where, like, Kane is taken out or Daniel Bryan is taken out, because that match really doesn't mean anything.
No, it's stupid.
Or something where Daniel Bryan ends up in that match.
We are previewing Sunday Night SummerSlam. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, he went from super hot to, it felt like it cooled off maybe a little bit, but it's something as stupid as the no thing seems to have, and going kind of crazy, it seems to have reinvigorated the crowd with Daniel Bryan. He almost feels more popular than he ever has right now.
Well, because, you know, a wrestling crowd loves nothing more than to be contrarian.
Yes.
So if you have Daniel Bryan coming out screaming, no, 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 they're going to scream yes, yes, yes. Just like if anybody starts talking, you get the Stone Cold Steve Austin, what chance? And that's, you know, a decade old. So it's right up wrestling fans' alley. The wrestlers today buy into it, and the fans throw it right back. So I think it's great. The progression of that catchphrase has just been amazing, from yes, 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 and to him putting that into all of his promos, to now no, 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 as like a full-fledged heel.
My girlfriend, we were watching Raw, and she was like, when he goes up and screams it in people's faces, they're scared. They don't know what they're supposed to yell. They don't know whether they're supposed to yell no or yes. They look frightened of him.
One more note just on that match, as I think about it, is, you know, they teased the whole Charlie Sheen celebrity integration with Daniel Bryan on Raw 1000, and rumors are that they couldn't get the deal done for Charlie Sheen to, like, either be in his corner or be the special referee, but there could be, I saw somebody wrote, you know, there could be, like, a Titan, like, he comes up on the video screen, distracts Daniel Bryan, and Kane wins. Like, something like that, which is so lame, obviously, but, like, WWE is so in the social network, you know, avenue right now, and you know, they always love mainstream press, so anything from Charlie Sheen there, I wouldn't be surprised, as lame as it looks like it could be. Unless he really does show up and do something that costs Daniel Bryan the match, that would be, you know, that would make SportsCenter.
So the headliner is Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, which I'm actually kind of excited for, because it seems like it's going to be a pretty brutal, violent match. How do you see this one going?
It's funny, because I know you've been down on the build of this storyline, as a lot of people have been. I gotta say, you know, if you saw Brock versus Cena a few months ago, I forget which pay-per-view that was at, that was an amazing match. That was groundbreaking almost, because it really was like half shoot, half work, you know, MMA-style match, where Cena was just ground and pounded and bloodied and beaten. I think it's going to be great. The rumors are, with all this Shawn Michaels involvement, you know, him having his arm, quote-unquote, broken last week on Raw, finally by Brock Lesnar. It's kind of like Rocky IV, where Apollo dies and then Rocky fights for to avenge his friend's death. That's kind of, they're kind of trying to engender sympathy for Triple H by hurting Shawn Michaels, but then the flip side of the coin is, and people on Twitter are starting to think that Shawn will make his way into the match, and then as he's about to super kick Brock Lesnar, he pivots and super kicks Triple H, which starts on the road to Triple H versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, which would be a great match, but we've seen it before. But it would be Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement and this and that. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Paul Heyman has been integral in setting up this Lesnar thing. He's been perfect. And I was talking to somebody on Twitter one day just about managers in general, because Brock Lesnar takes away everything when he talks to me. He just should shut up and stand there. But it just seems like there's so many wrestlers that could benefit from having a manager like that. I even think The Miz is at a spot where he'd be better if he had somebody talking for him.
Paulie's the best. He's the best antagonizer. He's like the Skip Bayless of the wrestling world. He's he knows how to get under everybody's skin. I know him personally, and people listening who in Philadelphia who grew up watching him with ECW know exactly what he's capable of. He's amazing. The problem with him is, he legitimately does not, he rubs people the wrong way in the McMahon family. So Vince and Stephanie and Triple H, they legitimately cannot stand the man. So, like, when you see them in the ring and Stephanie McMahon is slapping him, like, there's a lot of truth to that. So it's hard for him to stick around for a long period of time, but I would love to see him take on more wrestlers. I know he has a personal relationship with Punk. That would be amazing going forward. And speaking of managers, you know, they just had the controversial firing of AW.
Yeah, what's going to happen to the primetime players? Hashtag money-making scholars. Hashtag millions of dollars. What's going to happen?
Hashtag worst nickname ever, Mr. No Days Off.
Yeah.
You know, he looks exactly like John Cena. But they still have their match at SummerSlam against Kofi Kingston and R-Truth, just without their manager. And it's a shame. You know, he made the Kobe Bryant joke about, like, working harder than Kobe Bryant in the Colorado hotel room, and he got in trouble for that. And then he went on Twitter and he gave a little shout out to Linda McMahon, who just won the Republican primary for the Senate seat in Connecticut, and they fired him. That's basically why they fired him, because Vince and Linda, they want the two entities completely separate. They don't want any WWE wrestlers talking about the election or relating themselves at all to Linda's campaign. So they fired him for that. It's sort of like the cherry on top. So
he's an idiot.
He's an idiot, but it's unfortunate because I love the headset, the open mic headset gimmick. It was like Jimmy Hart 2.0 with the megaphone.
It was funny, but it was like that joke is 10 years away from relevance anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that joke isn't even, it might have been funny 10 years ago, but okay, real quickly, because we got to wrap it up. I just had a couple of more questions for you. Ziggler, Jericho, where are you going with that?
They will steal the show. I think actually because of the build of Jericho can't win the big one, I think Jericho will win this match, and it will lead to, you know, a couple more matches down the road where Ziggler is elevated to sort of main event status finally.
I feel like Sheamus is running out of gas a little bit. I don't think he had much anyway. Is there any way Ziggler with the Money in the Bank thing gets involved in Sheamus Del Rio?
There's absolutely a great chance of that happening. Anytime it's a big pay-per-view, that's a huge, shocking thing that could happen. Because Ziggler could lose to Jericho, but then Sheamus could be so beaten down in his match that he goes and cashes in, and Ziggler walks out, you know, with the 20 pounds of gold. You never know, but that's definitely an option. But I see Ziggler losing and possibly walking out with championship gold.
Randy Orton looks terrible to me.
He's on the Melky Cabrera diet.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe it's just because he's been away, but I'm excited for Wade Barrett's return. And I love the promos.
The vignettes have been cool. The last one wasn't as good as the first one, but the little vignettes going back to his sort of background as a bare-knuckle fighter in England is pretty cool. I don't like the whole Barrett Barrage thing. I just think it's like a lazy alliteration thing that Vince McMahon was like, he'll have a Barrett Barrage.
Yeah, yes.
And it will be devastating. It's just like lame to me, but still, I like him. I don't like his tattoos, but I like him, and I think he's going to get a huge push once he does come back.
And is it okay that I like both Damian Sandow and Ryback?
I know I have to go quickly. Damian Sandow, I had him in 2006. He was in a lame tag team. He was he went by the name of Idol. He was in a tag team called Casey and Idol. He was great then, and I'm so excited to see that he like went back down to developmental for like 5 years, developed the character, and now he's back up and he's getting a main event push. He was in the ring with DX taking super kicks and pedigrees on Raw 1000, and here he is on a pay-per-view. So I'm super proud of him. The character's great. It's like Leaping Lanny Poffo 2.0. And Ryback is just so entertaining to me. There's a million jokes to be made. And Feed Me More is like getting over with the crowd. It's amazing.
Yep.
I said today it's like he stole the Feed Me More gimmick from Little Shop of Horrors. And he stole his sort of arm crunch move, his psych up move from Chun-Li in Bloodsport.
Yes, you did. That is a good call. Bloodsport, a very good Jean-Claude Van Damme, in the Jean-Claude Van Damme in his heyday. Bloodsport and what was it?
Kickboxer,
right.
Yeah, I always get Tung Po and Chun-Li, the two heels in both movies. I get them confused. I have to look it up, but it's Chun-Li. He does the same exact move that you see Ryback doing every single week. But I think we'll see a Ryback squash match at some point at SummerSlam this Sunday on pay-per-view.
Follow him on Twitter, at Ange Gold, A-N-G-E-G-O-L-D. You're the best, man. Thanks, dude.
Hey, thank you, Spike.
Thanks. We'll get back to Sixers, maybe do a little more wrestling. Who knows?